Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. In this week's show, we'll be talking about optical character recognition and particularly working with OpenBook, a program from Freedom Scientific, for doing optical character recognition.
We'll meet Dusty Voorhees, who was instrumental in developing the program, and interview him about OpenBook, as well as having a demonstration of how you can use it as a standalone product on your PC. We'd like to start by saying hello to our newest listeners at North Texas Radio for the Blind in Dallas, Texas, which just started picking up this show this week. Turning now to our tip of the week, this week's tip is you can use optical character recognition, or OCR, to read what you can't. So I'd like to start by giving a definition of optical character recognition for anybody who may not know what it is. It's usually abbreviated to OCR, and as Wikipedia, that great source of information, says, OCR is the mechanical or electronic translation of scanned images of handwritten, typewritten, or printed text into machine encoded text. It is widely used to convert books and documents into electronic files, to computerize a record-keeping system in an office, or to publish the text on a website. OCR makes it possible to edit the text, search for a word or phrase, store it more compactly, display or print a copy free of scanning artifacts, and apply techniques such as machine translation, text-to-speech, and text mining to it.
OCR has a lot of usefulness for both sighted folks and visually impaired folks. But particularly for visually impaired folks, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that is in a graphics format where the text isn't readily available to a computer that can't readily be read by any screen reader because it makes use of the text that actually comes along with any application. So if you have some kind of graphics or a picture of a document, for example, couldn't be read by a screen reader, this is the place where you want to use optical character recognition. And essentially what happens is the program that does the optical character recognition, or the device that does it, it could be a hardware device, will scan in the image of what you're looking at, and it has some algorithms in there that are very sophisticated and have been developed over many decades now, and it recognizes the text, recognizes each letter, puts them into words, and then you can use your screen reader or whatever other access device you have to listen to this as if it were actually printed.
And this works equally well if the document you have is already been physically printed on paper, but you put it on the scanner turns it into a bitmap, and then the OCR can convert that into actual text that your screen reader or other access software will help you read.
Right. Once you have the document in your computer, the documents that you typically can't read because they are images may end with the extension TIFF, which is an image file, or some PDF documents have been just scanned in as images and aren't readily available as text. There are other file formats like JPEG that are image files. So if you see files with those extensions, those are candidates to be used with OCR software and be turned into text. We also talked about a new capability in JAWS 13, which is the screen reader that's used with a lot of people in Windows. And in show 1147, we talked about this new feature in JAWS 13 that's called Convenient OCR. And for the first time in one of the screen readers, they built in some OCR capabilities. They aren't nearly as extensive as in a regular OCR package, a standalone program, but they do provide some very interesting features. So you might want to go back and listen to that show.
So one thing we learned that was a little bit surprising was how long people have been working on OCR. The original patent, the very first one, was in Germany in 1929, and the first United States patent was in 1933. And it wasn't until the 1970s, and with Ray Kurzweil being involved, that any kind of almost useful program was available to help the visually impaired.
Well, it's come a long way. I was at Xerox in the late 70s when Xerox bought the Kurzweil company, and they actually gave me one of their first reading machines. It was like a $30,000 device, about as big as a small washing machine. And let me tell you, it was slow. There weren't many documents it would really read. These days, you can get that kind of capability in a cell phone for about $1,000 or so. Just snap a picture of something, it'll read it back to you. So it's come a long way. And we'll talk about some of the capabilities that you can get with some of the programs later in the show.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Dusty Voorhees, a senior product manager at Freedom Scientific, who's worked on OpenBook and other products.
My name is Dusty Voorhees. I'm a senior product manager with Freedom Scientific. I've actually been with the company since the days of Hinter Joyce. I kind of stumbled into working in the area of blindness. I have a bachelor's degree in industrial arts education, but I graduated in the middle of a school year, and the VA just happened to be looking for somebody with my degree, and school jobs were a little sparse at the time. So I started in that area as a blind rehabilitation specialist, training people using woodworking and metalworking, leather and ceramics, that type of stuff, to teach tactile skills and spatial orientation. Eventually, we started a computer training department, and I was fortunate to be one of the people starting that. And really kind of how I came to step outside of working for the VA and be working for Hinter Joyce was I had a client who was not only blind but also a double amputee. Neither arm was available for using the computer, and he wanted to use the computer, so I was looking for a solution. So I finally coupled together at that time JAWS for Windows and Dragon Dictate, and I was the first one to put that couple together. And worked together with Hinter Joyce, and eventually they said, "Well, why don't you come to work for us?" And I came and started the training department here, and then within about a year or so, they said, "Well, why don't you do product management to where you're defining the specifications on products?" So I've managed a variety of the products since that time. A few releases of JAWS. I focus mostly on OpenBook and Magic and the Pearl products and Sara. But I kind of have my hands in lots of different things. So that kind of gives you a background of what I do for the company.
So that was Dusty. And we went on to talk with him later on about some of the specific capabilities of OpenBook, which is a product that does a lot of OCR in addition to many other functions that Freedom Scientific sells.
Well, and I think he's in a really great position to be defining specs for these products, because although he's cited, he's worked with and alongside and trained a large number of visually impaired people. So he gets to see up close and personal how people with visual impairments work with the technology and what kinds of features they find more useful or less so.
Well, that's real important. I mean, so many of these products, you have the developer isn't really the user. And so you get a product that, yeah, it works, but it doesn't really fulfill the kind of functions that the users really want. And, I think Freedom Scientific is a great company in that regard, which is why their screen reader works so well and other products. You know, there's a large fraction of their staff is blind and does have some visual impairment. So they really get some good feedback early on what kind of features should be in the product, how people are going to use it day to day. And I think that's real important. It makes a real good product.
You are listening to Viewpoints. Viewpoints.
As we said, this week's focus topic is OpenBook. Let's get into it because it's really cool. So we went to the Freedom Scientific website and we found their description of OpenBook. OpenBook converts printed documents or graphic-based text into an electronic text format on your PC using quality speech and the latest optical character recognition technology. You can tailor the appearance of text on your screen, including font size, font style, character spacing, and color, view it with split screen, and compare your original document and OCR conversion results. Use masking and word spotlighting to help you follow text as it is read, and more.
And that was one of the first questions I had about Open Book for Dusty, as a matter of fact. I wasn't very familiar with Open Book, but I knew vaguely what the product did. And I was kind of curious that, you know, there are many OCR packages you can get commercially that are reasonably inexpensive, you know, $100 plus or minus a little bit more. And Open Book is, you know, relatively a lot more expensive than that. And so one of my questions was, you know, what differentiates Open Book from some of these other solutions that are more commercially available?
There's several things that come to mind as you tell me that question. You know, one of them is there are lots of other things that are built into the product. It's not just optical character recognition. It's also how do I, you know, transport that stuff onto my note taker? How can I have it in large print? How can I have it, you know, speaking to me right off the bat, where all the commercial products out there are grabbing the text. They're not even necessarily putting the zones in the right order because it doesn't matter to the sighted person looking at the document. They're just going to click into the areas they want. They're going to read it visually. But we need to make sure we get all those zones in the right order. Otherwise, they make no sense. And so you have, you know, lots of extra features. You know, we can emboss directly out of Open Book if you wanted something in Braille. You can set your foreground and your background that, you know, we automatically adjust the text so that it's easy for a low vision person to read and easy for the blind person to navigate.
So you see, you get a lot more with Open Book, and this program really is specifically devoted to folks with different kinds of low vision problems. You know, if you can't see at all, or if you have low vision and can see somewhat. So there are a number of capabilities that you might be interested in. So now, in addition to the Open Book product, which is a software program that you install on your computer, Freedom Scientific also makes a camera called the Pearl Camera, which connects to your computer via USB. And so they've managed to take the Pearl Camera and integrate it with the Open Book software to produce some really unique capabilities. And Dusty's going to describe some of those for us.
Let me go ahead and I'll stick a book under here that I stole from my kids, and they probably I'll never get it back because I keep using it for demonstrating because I like the stories. But this is a story called Because of Winn-Dixie. I'm going to go ahead and hit the key on here. I'll tell you when I hit it that says acquire the image. And then you'll hear a shutter sound. And that shutter sound tells you that we've acquired the image, so I can move the book out from underneath the camera at that point in time. And then you're going to start hearing the text spoken. And I'll let it speak for a little bit so you kind of hear the recognition on it, and then I'll stop the speech. So I'm going to press the button now.
The preacher lay there on the ground, rubbing his nose. Finally, he sat up. He said, "Opal, I believe Winn-Dixie has a pathological fear of thunderstorms."
Okay, so I stopped the speech at that point, but we got the text in when we started reading it. I had just put the book under there, so we were actually adjusting the light. That was what the delay was when I first started it. So that's the typical, I can put something under there and actually have it read to me. And, you know, every time I put a page under there. So that's what is our default mode, which we call acquire and read.
Now, that is really neat, because in general, people have had to have a scanner sitting on the side of their desk. You put the document you wanted to read on top of the scanner like you would a copy machine, and it would take, you know, a long time to scan it in, maybe 30 seconds or so, even with a fast scanner, and then you had to wait for the recognition to happen before you got some feedback and things like this. But with this camera arrangement, with the camera looking at your document, as Dusty showed, you can just snap a picture. The camera grabs the whole document at a time rather than have to scan it in a little at a time. And the recognition process happens almost instantaneously. In fact, one thing I learned after working with the product myself for a little bit was that there are different levels and options for recognition. You can have it do the quickest recognition or the most accurate or some combination. And so you can tune it to what your exact needs are.
And the other thing you could tell by listening to that demo was that everything that happened had a unique and easily recognizable sound effect. So when the shutter clicked and you knew that the image was being acquired, it sounded like a pretty loud camera shutter. And you'd hear the beeps when it was done and when it was starting. And they've really made it fairly turnkey for the visually impaired. So that was one page at a time using the Pearl camera. They can also run it in a multi-page automatic mode. And we were really impressed by this.
One of the other modes that you get with the Pearl camera is a mode that we call multi-page automatic. And so I'm going to go ahead and switch my workflow right now to that workflow.
Workflow in our Spanish chat. Acquired image only. Acquired mails multi-page automatic. Leaving menus.
Okay, so I've switched the mode in here, and while it says automatic, that automatic starts after I initialize it myself. So we've already captured two pages of this paperback, so I'm going to go ahead and turn the page on that, and then I'm going to kick off the acquisition of pages. And what you'll see in there is that it'll acquire that first page, but with multi-page automatic, I want to be able to continue to read my story as I go, as I get the rest of the book. And so I'll hear that shutter sound, and that shutter sound tells me that, okay, you can flip the page and I'll acquire the next page. And so what we're doing with Open Book and the camera is we are looking for movement underneath the camera. Once we see that there's been movement underneath the camera, so we know you turned a page, then we're going to go ahead and wait for it to stabilize. You quit moving your fingers. So if you're not wanting it to take a picture, you just, you know, keep moving your hand around underneath there, and it's not going to take a picture. But, you know, once I've stabilized it, I quit moving my hands, it'll say, okay, I've waited long enough, and they haven't moved their hands again, so they must want me to take the next picture. And so it'll take that next picture and so on. So we'll grab two or three pages, you know, page flips in there, two pages each time, and then I'll pause it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to let us go ahead and listen to this story while I'm doing this. So I'm going to go ahead and kick off the scan and kick off a say all in this.
The storm won't last long, the preacher told me, and when it's over, the real Winn-Dixie will come back. After a while, the storm did end. The rain stopped, and there wasn't any more lightning, and, plus minus 76 finally, the last rumble of thunder went away, and Winn-Dixie quit running back and forth, and came over to where multi-page image acquisition dialogue. Select an action. Acquire additional pages. Button.
Okay, so I got done. I hit the escape key on the keyboard, and we get three choices when we hit the escape key. You know, the one is to acquire additional pages. So, you know, the phone rang, or, you know, my wife came in and asked me what I wanted for dinner, or, you know, the kids come running in, I've got to stop for a moment, or I just got tired of turning pages. For some reason, I wanted to stop for the moment. And, you know, if I wanted to continue on, I'd go ahead and flip the page and hit the space bar and continue on turning pages. Or if I tab once.
Turn pages over. Button.
I get a choice of turning the pages over. This feature was actually designed for people who had document feeders on a scanner, and they'd cut the spine off a book and they'd feed it all through one side, so they're getting one side of the page, and now they want to turn it over, and now Open Book will insert those pages as they're acquired backwards through the book in the proper place. And when we first came out with Open Book and the Pearl camera, I told people, I said, that's for the scanners, and I've had too many great Open Book users go, oh no, I use that with books all the time. And so with a textbook, they'll take the spine of the book and they'll put it right along the edge of the guide. And so they'll just turn the pages from left to right. So all they're doing is getting the right-hand pages. And when they get to the back of the book, they'll hit escape. They'll go to turn pages over. They'll slide the spine over to the other edge of the guide. And now they just flip the pages backwards through the book, and Open Book inserts it in between. So you can use it with either one.
Well, I thought that was great to see some capabilities that you wouldn't find in any conventional OCR software. And this is really, you know, as you can see, geared to the visually impaired. One thing that wasn't obvious from those demos, just so that people are clear, the voices that you heard when the program was reading the books back were built into Open Book. You don't need any screen readers such as JAWS or anything else running on your system. That's all part of OpenBook itself. It's a standalone product in that regard.
Turning now to this week's high-tech item, Pete did a demonstration using OpenBook, just the software, as a standalone program on the PC to interact with documents that he'd already captured one way or another.
Okay, so let's demonstrate how to use OpenBook with an image that was already scanned in, and I have it here available as a TIFF file. We're going to have Samantha, who is the JAWS synthesized voice that introduces the show, help us out here.
Hello, this is Samantha.
Ready to go?
Okay, let's get the show on the road.
I'm running JAWS, and on my Windows 7 computer, I like to start some programs by hitting the Windows key on the bottom left of the keyboard.
Menu, search box edit.
That brings up a search box, and if I type in the first couple of characters of the program I'm looking for, open.
Open. OpenBook 9.0.
There it is, and I hit enter and the program will start.
Welcome to OpenBook version 9.0.
Now the first thing you notice there, which was interesting, is that Samantha went away and got replaced by the Eloquence voice. This is because OpenBook comes along with its own set of speech synthesizers independent of JAWS. So if JAWS is running, OpenBook won't run into it. But if JAWS isn't on your machine or you don't have JAWS running, then OpenBook uses its own speech synthesizer. So now let's open up a document. I hit Control-O.
Select a file to open dialog.
And I'm in the open dialog. And now since this is a TIFF file, I have to tab to get to the what kind of files dialog that I want to open.
Files of type. Combo box all OpenBook docs start.
So the first selection is all OpenBook type of files. And if I keep hitting A a couple of times, I'll get to all files.
Adobe Portable.audio file format, all files star.
All files, star. That's the one. Now if I hit Shift-Tab, I can get back to the list field that gives me the files to choose from.
File name, edit box alt plus list control not selected audio.
Now I know that the name of the file I'm looking for starts with a V, so I'm just going to hit V a couple of times until I find the file.
Viewpoint Visual Studio 2 Visual Studio 2 with the viewpoints 1101 outline dot viewpoints 1101 viewpoints 1101020001.tiff 8013.
You can see that's a TIFF file. That's the one I want to open. I hit enter.
New document in read-only mode. Document viewpoints 1101020001.tiff open.
Dozen sources just to give you an idea of how much is available. Then we'll concentrate on one
And you can see it starts to read to me. Now, one thing that's interesting here is, again, you can see that the voice was changed. Well, in OpenBook, you get to use a different voice for menus, a different voice for reading the document, and different voices for other things. So I'm using the RealSpeak Tom voice, which is also available with JAWS, but comes with OpenBook. Now, inside of OpenBook, many of the same navigation features that work with JAWS, if you're familiar with those, or with Windows, work here. So I can hit the JAWS key and the down arrow, and the document will automatically read to me from the beginning to the end. So let's try that.
Dozen sources just to give you an idea of how much is available. Then we'll concentrate on one particularly useful source. Here are some places where you can get accessible reading material.
And if I hit the control, it'll shut up speech. Now, if I move the arrow keys, I can read a word at a time.
Reading. Services, dash, finding them, in, other, locations.
So you have various ways of navigating. OpenBook gives you the ability to put in different kinds of comments and bookmarks and things like that if you go through the file menu. One feature I thought was particularly neat was that you can save this file not only as a Word document or as some kind of text document or as just as an OpenBook document to come back to it later on your computer, but if you want to transfer this to like an MP3 player or some other audio device, you can actually save this file as an audio file, which is kind of neat, as an MP3 file. So if you go to the file menu with Alt-F.
File, F, new dot dot dot, open dot dot dot, save to audio dot dot dot, D.
And here's the option that allows you to save it as an audio file. If you open this menu, it will ask you which pages you want to save, where you want to save it to, and what kind of format. And you can save it as an MP3 file and then transfer it to your MP3 or audio player to listen to with the voice that you've selected for OpenBook to read the document in.
Open emboss dot 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 E.
So here's the emboss option. This allows you to send the file directly to a Braille printer if you have one, which is kind of cool. To get to many of the other settings, you hit Control G, and I'll arrow down there so you can see what some of them are.
Settings, G. Save the settings, dot, dot, dot.
So this will let you save different configuration files. So if you have it customized with particular voices for reading menus, particular voices for reading the documents and doing other things, and the rate of the voice and things like that, you can save them right here. Arrow down again.
Retrieve settings, dot, dot, delete settings, dot, dot, dot. Enable speech, Control F5.
You can enable speech or not with OpenBook, so you don't have to use the speech settings.
Enable Braille.
You can enable Braille, so if you have a Braille display. Now I'm using JAWS, so JAWS is actually handling the Braille display in this case.
General settings, dot, dot, dot. Speech settings, dot, dot, dot.
Here are the speech settings, so let's look what's there.
Voice selection, combo box reading voice, Alt plus S.
The reading voice.
Menu voice.
The menu voice is the eloquence voice that you usually hear with JAWS.
Emphasis voice.
There's an emphasis voice. I have Samantha chosen as the emphasis voice. And then for each of those voices, you can change various settings. So you can see there are also visual settings. So if you do have some sight, you like to see the screen with particular colors and things like that, you can change the kind of highlight and the kinds of colors, the size of fonts and things like that that you're using. OpenBook also allows you a number of editing options and correction options, find options, and things like that. But one thing I thought was particularly neat was the ability to look for electronic books online. So if you hit Control C to get to the launch menu,
launch C, photocopy dot 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 unavailable.
You can see if you have a scanner hooked up to the machine, you can do some automatic photocopying.
Book search B, and there's submenu.
And there's a book search menu here. Let's hit that and see what happens.
Quick search dot 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 Q.
Let's do a quick search.
Quick book search dialog. Title. Edit box Alt plus T.
Let's type in Lord of the Rings.
L-O-R-D space O-F-T-A-E space R-I-G-S.
And hit enter.
Login to bookshare.org dialog. Enter your bookshare.org username and password.
So if you're a member of Bookshare, you can actually enter your Bookshare information here and look for books on Bookshare. So let's do that. And hit enter.
Title. Edit box low book search results dialog. Searching for online books. Cancel search. Button. Alt plus C. Search completed. Total 7 books found. Checklist box. The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien at bookshare.org. Not checked.
So that's pretty cool. Whichever one of those you check, you just hit enter and they're automatically downloaded for you, and then you can read them in OpenBook. So you can use OpenBook as a reader, as an editor, and also to scan in documents that you may have in image format on your PC or directly from a scanner, as Dusty showed us before. So let's close OpenBook. Alt F4. And I get that cute music, and Samantha's back again.
Menu. Search box edit.
Hi there. Well, I want to thank Freedom Scientific for sending me a copy of OpenBook so I could check it out. And one thing I thought was interesting, this wasn't a program with which I was familiar, but it was quite easy to learn its features and to navigate around. So, you know, I think you shouldn't have trouble using it if that's the kind of program that you need.
That's it for this week's show. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about employment and training at ABVI. Next week's show complements show 1148 about other services at Rochester, New York's Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. We'll continue our tour of their facility, including employment and training venues, including orientation and mobility, manufacturing, food services, and their call centers that they run. We'll also talk about their recent technology expo. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to viewpoints@wxxi.org or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, produced by Peter Torpey and Nancy Goodman Torpey in collaboration with WXXI Reach Out Radio. To subscribe to the podcast, access a full archive of shows and show notes, or to find out more, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.